Hello, everyone, and welcome to Watermark Church's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now let's join Pastor Jarvis as we dive into the series of Colossians.
If you can stand up this morning, I feel really strong today to do something that I don't typically do it like this. If you are not a person who prays a lot, here's my encouragement. I think it's really important that we corporate prayer. I think it's really important. Prayer corporately is super important. I also believe, though, there is a war going on. In the last few weeks, strongly in my heart, I really do believe now that as a church we can get, now when I say church, I'm talking about church as a whole, not just Watermark. We can be sidetracked by stuff that we see in the news or social media. I'm not saying it's not real, but we start focusing on liberties being lost and not freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. You hear me on this? And I think it's time for the church to rise up in prayer and start praying down and start believing that there is true freedom found in who Jesus Christ is. Amen. And I do believe that it's not just that we need to pray on Sunday mornings, but we need people who are going to start walking their neighborhoods and praying in the streets and taking time to focus on what God is saying to them, saying for what God is speaking. Every time there's stuff going on, God raises a standard, God raises people. This is nothing to do with my sermon, but one of my favorite people, Mark Dean, Marissa's dad, actually, who is kind of a pastor of mine, Pastor Mark Dean, one of the things he always says, his favorite quote is, a rising tide lifts all boats. I'm telling you, when we begin to start raising the standard in our faith, in our spiritual walk, in our prayer life, it starts to lift everything else around us. And not only does a rising tide lift all boats, but there's enough wind of the Spirit to move all boats along that too. I do believe there's something coming that is not the time for the church to pull back or to tiptoe. It's time for the church people to rise up and to be people of faith and not to be people of fear. I think it's time for us to actually speak words in people's lives. I do believe if you listen to what God is saying to you, that even as you're waiting in line at Target or Walmart, even with your mask on, that God will give you unction to share words with people that you've never met before. There's something to be said, and this was what Paul was saying. He says there's encouragement to the church that, listen, that be people of faith, be people of faith. And so let's just take a few moments. Even if you're not a typical person who raises hands, if everybody can just do me, let's just get into a posture of prayer. And if you just take your hands and just kind of open them up, it's almost like God, we just want to receive from you today. And I just pray, Lord, and even in your own voice, just saying, God, just, Lord, pour into me, Lord, just show me things in my own life. Revealing things that are lacking in faith. Reveal things that are me. Lord, I just pray for us as a church right now that you didn't just say that the disciples, we talked about prayer, and it says that it won't be just a place of worship or a place of preaching, a place of just serving, but you've called it a house of prayer. And we just pray right now for you in this season of mass confusion, Lord, of the situation with race and of riots and everything going on. And Lord, just that division, we pray in Jesus' name that we don't become peacekeepers, but peacemakers, that peace is found in you. And I pray for us not to walk in timid, to walk on tiptoes, but to walk in faith. That I just pray that you give us a new passion and awareness for prayer. That we, as we not just think of people, that we begin to pray for people. That we just don't send condolences, but we send prayers. I pray in Jesus' name that you impart to this church, Lord, things that you want us to pray through and for. I pray for new steps of faith, and I pray as our arms are opened up to receive, I pray, Holy Spirit, fill us up today with a freshness that we haven't had in a long time. I pray that you pour new things in us. Lord, it's just like tires that begin to get low, not because of, Lord, it's just over time that we become unaligned or deflated. I pray that you increase the capacity within us for more of the things of you. Lord, where there has been fear, bring faith. Where there has been, Lord, doubt, I pray that you bring this assurance of the things of you. I pray for your words. And I just pray for people to walk in trust in the things of you. We thank you, Lord, that we don't know what's going to happen in this season, but we do know that you are in charge and you're still on the throne, and it's a kingdom that we serve. Lord, we give you this morning. We give you this time in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you can shake hands, don't do that. If you can turn to somebody and wave and then grab a seat, that would be great. You guys are so, it's so funny when everybody has a mask and I feel like everybody's so quiet. So we are jumping in as Colossians, and I'm not kidding you. It has been a slow process, and I'm not telling you, this is me just being honest. I'm a type of person who has my sermon series. You can ask my staff. My sermon series are always lined up almost a year in advance. Some people say, well, do you allow room for the Holy Spirit? Of course, but I also like to plan and get stuff together. And so, but because of COVID, we just kind of threw everything out, and we did that essential series, and now we're doing Colossians. And I'm not in a hurry because I think it's important for us to work through Scripture. And if you missed it with us, you saw in the video, it's Paul's in prison. He's actually discipling and planting churches from prison. And it's amazing. And if you heard me say a few weeks ago, he's actually, in this isolation with mask on, we think that we're limited because of we can't do certain things. But Paul didn't feel limited. He said, with God, I can do all things. And so even from his isolation in prison, he was still discipling. He was still planting churches. He was still working in the season that God put him in. And he wrote a letter. All his letters were so important to different churches. And right now we're looking at the letters to the church of Colossae. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And I'm just going to read it slowly. It's going to be up on the screen. It says this: for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. I love that. He says, we continue to pray for you. And we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Don't you just want to live a life worthy? We talked about that last week. I want to live a life that's worthy of the Lord. And so, and I said that quote last week at the very end, may the things you're living for, is it worth Jesus Christ dying for? And it's interesting because I want to live a life worthy of that. And it says that bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Anybody else need endurance and patience in this season? Raise your hand. All of us. Like it is, I'm going to tell you something stupid I did. If you want to ask, I do have allergies right now, but because we have to wear these masks all the time, I've been remodeling the upstairs kids' bedroom, and because I have to wear the mask all the time, I've been not wearing the mask in work projects, which is really stupid. I know it's backwards, and so I got a lot of dust and stuff I'm trying to clear out, but it's amazing. We just need endurance and patience, because it's interesting in this season, if you were an impatient person, you're probably more impatient now. If you are, you just need this endurance. And so having great endurance and giving joyful thanks. Anybody in here have a hard time being joyful? So many times lately, but he says joyful thanks that is expressed, that you're giving thanks to the Father. And this is the part I want to focus on. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light? Verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." Isn't that cool? Just that one phrase, that he has qualified us. Now listen, maybe you're not aware. If you're not aware, then you probably are not on TV or anything, but there is a presidential election coming up in November. Anybody know this is coming up? You see signs everywhere, everything, you see it everywhere, over every place you look. And here's what begins to happen, and this is the ploy for the last several years, is one person takes on another person, and they're trying to demean the other person. They're trying to belittle the other candidate. And so through all the commercials, politics is a brutal business. The candidates are trying to throw arrows and accusation at each other, their opponents, at will. And they attack each other's platform. They attack each other's belief and political records, and they attack each other's stance, but they also attack each other's character. And they come at each other, they want the voters, they want the other voters to think that the opposing candidate is not qualified to serve as a president of the United States. The whole goal of most of these platforms and advertisements is to show that the other candidate is not qualified, that they're not fit to serve, that they don't have what it takes, that they can't serve. And I'm telling you, the reason I say this is because I believe with my heart, this is the same tactic that the enemy uses against you. That the enemy will come at your character, will pull up records of your wrongs. The enemy will come at you with accusation and arrows and tell you why you are not qualified to be the son or the daughter of the king. The enemy will come at you and say that, spew the ugly things and the lies in our own hearts to say that why you are not fit to serve, why you are not a good Christian, why you're not a good parent, why you can't be doing this, and why you can't hold up. This is why in Scripture he's called the accuser of the brethren. That the enemy, that Satan, the evil one will come and with the temptation and lies, throw the insults. Have you ever felt personally you don't have what it takes? Have you ever felt yourself that you don't feel like you have it? I can tell you this, almost every single challenge in my life, you know what I'm saying? Even before we got married, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to be married. Well, then we get married, and I realized really fast I wasn't mature enough to be married yet. But then you go, then you start talking about kids, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm mature enough or ready enough to, or if we can afford to have a kid, and guess what? We have four. Not at once, by the way. And then you go through all these things, you're saying, but just think about the questions you have is, am I good enough to be a parent? Can I share my own story? Have you ever been into a job interview before and felt like you were underqualified? You feel like, I just don't have what it takes. I've been in many interviews, and actually many interviews for pastoral jobs. And I don't feel like I have. Yeah. You feel like you're underqualified. You feel like you have a lot of weaknesses. You feel like always the bridegroom and never the bride. You feel like you just kind of, I'm not the number one picked. You feel underqualified. It's amazing because some people in this room actually always feel overqualified. That's okay. That's cool. You're just kind of conceited about yourself, but that's awesome. But you're that good. But a lot of people feel, they live a life, and we just feel sometimes underqualified. But I want you to know from a spiritual standpoint today is this. You are fit because God has made you so because of Jesus Christ. God has qualified you. Think about that. The redemption work of the cross of Jesus Christ and Jesus saying, you are now with me, and God saying, you're my son and my daughter. It's amazing because it's not like you're like, you look at these sporting events, even the World Cup's going to happen next few years, so they're having qualifying events. NASCAR has qualifying races. You look at different things in sports, you got to qualify for something. But can I tell you this? In the kingdom of God, there's no qualifying match. There's no like, well, are you going to become a Christian? I don't know. If I qualify, if I can do this, maybe if I'm eloquent with my speech, maybe if I can read through the whole Bible in 1 year, maybe if I can help give a tithe or something, maybe I might qualify to be part of the church, be part of the kingdom. And so it says, and I love this because God is saying, and Paul's saying, he says, God has literally qualified you. God has brought you in. And I think this is interesting because even myself, I remember the first time I got a phone call to be youth pastor from Brainerd, Minnesota. Now, Brianna was, she was raised in this church, you know what I'm saying? She was actually in the youth ministry, and I was called to be a youth pastor. Actually, Ben and Brianna were part of this youth ministry, and I won't ever forget going, it's a full-time job. I'm going to be a youth pastor. And I went up for an interview, and it was pretty traditional church at that time. All the pastors were in suits. Pastors were sitting on a stage. And I remember thinking, I wore a suit every Sunday morning. I don't do that now. And it was like a badge that said pastor on it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm a goofy guy. I kind of stutter. I kind of make little laugh noises when I talk. I get it. I do certain things. And I'm going, but I got to look and act the part because my title change. I got to become different now because I carry a different title within a church. And I won't forget it, the first few months being a youth pastor, I started to lose my identity because I was allowing my title become more my identity. And then something hit me like a ton of bricks. I was trying to be a pastor, and I had to learn that I need to try more to be Jarvis, who God called me to be. And that's not your calling. Don't try to be me because it won't work super well. You got to learn how to have a little squeak in your voice and everything else. But I will say this. God has called us with our own uniqueness, not with a title, but with a calling. I think sometimes we say, well, you have a pastor calling. That's true. But can I tell you this? The fact that you are a Christian gives you a specific calling. That you are a missionary to where you're at. That you are called to your neighborhood. That you and me have a calling. That we are called by God. We all feel like God's called us to do something. Now listen, some of it is starting businesses. Some of it's launching out and doing something new. But can I tell you this? Some of it's loving your neighborhood in a new way. Some of it's making a meal for somebody. Sometimes it's writing a note. Maybe it's sparking a new friendship with somebody. Maybe it's praying for somebody. Maybe for you, it's sharing your faith story with somebody. Maybe it's serving somebody. But God's Spirit with all of us is gently nudging us to move and act out our faith. Because I can tell you this, faith is active. That means faith is action. Faith steps out. Faith steps out when we nudge, even when we don't feel qualified. This is what Paul was getting at. He was saying, even when you don't feel qualified, I qualified you to be my son and my daughter. I am your daddy. I am here to help encourage you. I love the life of Moses. We're just going to park here for a second. If you guys know the story of Moses, of course, he was in the kingdom, in the palace, and then he ran because of a situation with murder, and he ran and hid. And here he knew some of a calling, but he was hiding as a shepherd in the mountains. And one day as he was in the mountains, he came upon a burning bush, and God spoke to him and said, I want you to help deliver the slaves from Egypt. And he says, I want you to go down there. And I'm just going to read this for you because I think this is super important because this is so practical for us today. Because I think deep down, every situation, Moses was saying, I'm not qualified. And not is he not only saying he's not qualified, he's giving the points why he's not qualified. So it says, we feel like Moses from the burning bush. So excuse number one is this. As God spoke to him and says, I want you to go. Take off your sandals where you're at is holy ground. And I want you to go and free the people. I will send you to Pharaoh and you will be my people. And you bring my people, my children out of Egypt. But excuse number one says this. This is what Moses said. Exodus 3:11 says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? It's like saying, I'm nobody, God. Who am I? I'm the guy that's been running for all these years. I'm the guy who made a mistake. Years pass. I change my looks. I change a job. I'm running away because I don't want people to know me. I'm running from that place. I'm running from my past, and yet you want me to go back there and stop running and bring the people out. So he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Any fame or social credibility I had is gone. I'm a shepherd. I am the lowest in the totem pole. No one's going to listen to me. Can I just tell you what God's response was? I love this. Exodus 3:12 says this. I will be with you. Isn't that awesome? It's like we tell our kids, storm's coming. I'm scared. I'll be with you. What am I supposed to do here? I'll be with you. God says, I will be with you. This calling is not based on your credibility, but God is saying it's not based upon you. It's based upon me. God is telling Moses, listen, it's not about you, it's about me. I don't want Egypt or Israel impressed by you. I want them to be impressed by me. And he goes, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this to free my people. He goes, listen, they don't need to be impressed by you. Because of your weakness, they're going to be impressed by me. He says, so you say, why me? He says, because I'm with you. Excuse number two says this. They aren't going to believe me. Exodus 4:1 says, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. They're going to think that I'm a loony bin. Here comes a guy who fled, who maybe people still know about me, who is a shepherd, and I'm saying I'm going to come down. And then God's response again is this, same one. Guess what? I'll be with you. Exodus 4:5 even says this, the same secret power to demonstrate is this, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. I will send you with signs and wonders. I will go before you. I will be your shield. I will be your protection. He even says again, the point is this. Remember the point is to impress them with me, not you. Trust me and I'll show up. All of a sudden he comes with an excuse. Moses with an excuse. Excuse number three. I'm not gifted to do this. I'm a few fries short of a happy meal here. I'm missing a few things. You understand, I ran. I didn't run to go preach. I didn't run to learn evangelism. Listen, I didn't take any leadership classes. I've been leading sheep for all these years. I don't have a lot of skills. You're talking to a man who became almost like a farmer, and you want me to take a whole nation who has been slaves for hundreds of years out, and you think the Pharaoh is going to listen to me. I don't have the tools for this. He says, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since we have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. So he's like, these people, Pharaoh, they're used to people with great expressions. They're used to people with great speech. They're used to people who can give great lectures. He goes, I stutter. How are you going to use this? I don't have the tools to do what you've called me to do. God's response to Moses, I love this. Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go and I will be with your mouth. Isn't that awesome? My encouragement to you today, as I said, is God wants to speak through you to people. And I feel like if I had a word for you, when you pray for people, when you pray over people and to people, God says the same thing. I will be with your mouth. And he says, and teach you what you shall speak. You'll still be missed. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. I want Egypt and Israel to be impressed, not with you, but I want them to be impressed with me, says the Lord. So don't be afraid. Can I just tell you, so many people I talk to, you feel the nudges a lot. It's like someone just nudging you and saying, hey, I want you to go speak to this person. You might be at work and they might be sharing their situation going on, what they're doing with their family. They might be sharing just hardships. And you feel that spiritual nudge to share a few words with them, to share your own faith story, to say, can I pray with you or can I do this? And then all of a sudden you start hearing the things in your head about, I'm not qualified. I don't know what to say. If they start asking me questions, I'm not qualified to answer their questions. I don't know enough. And so many times we back away from situations because we feel unqualified. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it says this in Scripture, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Moses is using the same excuses. I don't know what to share. I'm not eloquent with my speech. And God is saying, I will be with you, and people will be more impressed because of your weakness, because they will see my strength. I'm telling you, we have been in the nature of leading with our strengths. And God says, listen, I'm going to work through your weaknesses. One of the enemy's most effective strategies is to get you to focus on what you don't have, what you used to have, or what somebody else has. He does this by keeping you from looking at what God is asking of you, which is this question. God, what can you do with what I have? Excuse number four is this. Don't make me do this, God. Don't make me do this. He says, oh my Lord, please send somebody else. There's got to be a better candidate out there than me. There's got to be somebody else. There got to be somebody out there who's not going to be accused of capital murder from Egypt many years ago. There's got to be someone with a better track record. There has to be somebody else who's not just a shepherd. There has to be somebody else who doesn't stumble when they speak. There has to be somebody else who doesn't stutter. There has to be somebody else who is not living and hiding. There has to be somebody else that you can use to do your work except for me. And God's response is this. I love it. He just says, enough. I'm done. I have purposes in choosing for you for this call. You don't know all those purposes yet. So stop leaning on your own understanding and just trust in me. God finally just said, enough is enough. You just got to trust me and know that I'm going to work through you. So do you feel unqualified to do what God's called you to do? My response is, join the club. You know what I love about reading scripture? Do you know one of the best qualifications of people that God used mightily in scripture was? This is one of the best qualifications. If you looked at their resume, what is one of the best qualifications? That they were all unqualified. I love the story when Samuel came to anoint and try to find the king. And he looked at all the sons and he said, is this the one? Nope. 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 Is this all your sons? Because I know in your family, we're going to anoint the next king. And even the dad goes, no, they're still the youngest, but he's out tending sheep. We didn't even think that he's an option. Who is that? You guys know who that is? David. Think about that for a second. He says, go get him. Bring him here. David walks in. He anoints him. And he says, they anoint him, future king. And he says, he's the one, the youngest. The most unqualified one here is the most qualified one here. Think about that, the most unqualified one here. Think about that. Many years later, he goes, they're having a battle, and he comes to bring food to his brothers in the front line who are facing Goliath. And who beats Goliath? The most unqualified one. Always. Who's going to win the battle? I don't know, the greatest underdog. We all love those stories. You know who else loves those stories? God loves those stories. You know why? Because I believe when we know that we don't have all the best qualifications, we know that we're not the stuff, that God gets more of the credit, because that's where the credit has to go. He has to get the glory. Listen, he has to get it. And I'm telling you, so many people are literally held back. Dan and Brady, you guys can come up here. So many people are held back because they feel unqualified. I can't pray for somebody. I can't lead. I can't do this. And God's response is the same. I love this. Many years ago, I heard this. It says that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let me repeat that. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He calls us to do great things. I think a lot of you, I just want you to visualize for a second. If I were to give you a spiritual reference form right now, and you were to make up your own reference form of your history, what you've done. Yeah, I'm a good dad, I'm a good guy, decent mom, I'm beautiful, I can do this, I'm a nice person, made some mistakes in my past. I mean, start looking at the things. You start looking at your strengths and you start looking at your weaknesses. And I think so often that we start looking at the reasons that we're unqualified or unfit to serve. Listen, we want people to pick us. We want to be noticed. We want people to believe in us. But when God asks us to step out and call to do something, we don't want to do it because we don't feel like we're qualified. We don't feel like we have what it takes. We're nervous that we're going to mess up. We're nervous that we're going to screw up. We're nervous that we're going to miss something. I'm here to tell you, you are a son and the daughter of the King. I don't care what somebody says on your references. What I care about is what God says about you. You know what I need to focus on every single day? Not what people have told you negative. Not even what you've told yourself. Not when you look in the mirror, what you tell yourself. Not the shame or the guilt that you tell yourself. Not the lies you believe that the enemy tells you. You need to remind yourself daily what God says about you. That you are redeemed. That you are forgiven. That you are called by name. That you were creative. That you were thought of. That you were not cast aside. But that you were loved. That you were died for. That God knows you. And he still likes you. And God says, I have an inheritance for you. I have dreams for you. And go back up to scripture, it says, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Everybody stand up this morning. Can I just tell you this right now? There's a few lies that we need to get out of our head. Some of you in this room have been told you're not good enough. Some of you watching that video right now, you just feel like I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Don't have what it takes. Get it out. You need to rip out that lie every single time it comes in. You need to rip up that weed. Listen, I really believe your mind is like a garden. And just like any garden, any gardeners in here? Anybody here? Like literally, your spiritual growth is like a garden that you have got to consistently, to help good things grow, you got to pull out some weeds because those weeds can take the best nourishment. And guess what? When those thoughts, those weeds come up, like you're not good enough, you got to pull those suckers out. When you say, I'm not good enough to serve, I'm not good enough to do that, I'm not going to have the words. I can't step out because I may not know what to do. You got to start pulling it out. And I believe, listen, even in this season, I believe God is calling all of us to step out because you know who needs it, not just you, but the people around you need the you that God has created you to be. They need people of faith, people of prayer, people to step up and say, listen, not only am I a child of the King, but so are you. You got to realize your family tree, who God's called you to be. Amen. Ready to bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. I believe that God just wants to kind of redefine a little bit. It's amazing to me that if you look at the qualifications to become a Christian in Scripture, you know what it is? To believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for you. To confess your sins. It doesn't say you got to be perfect. It doesn't say you got to have it all together. It doesn't say you got to be called to be a missionary, which would be cool, but just says that you need to confess your sins, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and make a decision daily to follow Jesus Christ and worship him. He qualifies you. You just need to recognize it. with all eyes closed and heads bowed, if you're here this morning and you need to make a decision, maybe you need to get right with the Lord, maybe you got to get realigned with the Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord is speaking to you today. You can even feel that faith is rising within you. You felt depleted for months, but faith is rising inside of you. Faith is growing. God's just saying, pull those weeds and let faith arise. If you're here this morning, you're just saying, I need to confess and I need the Lord to be number one. I need to make a decision today to make Jesus number one in my life. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand in this room. Don't be afraid. See it. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Everybody repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I give you my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me my sins. Help me to follow you. Holy Spirit, fill me up. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, everybody look up here. Just be honest in here. I know we're going to close and do one more sound of worship. But if you're just saying, if you feel underqualified in your life with a lot of things, and you're just saying, listen, I spend more time thinking about my unqualifications than God's qualifications. I just want you to raise your hand. Let's just be honest in here. A lot of us. Keep your hands up for a second. Lord, I just pray for every single person right now that raises their hand. I pray in Jesus' name they may know you and your power, and then they may feel like, Lord, that, Lord, is because of your work on the cross, not because of our strength, but because of what you did, Lord, that gives us, empowers us to do the work that you've called us to do, not in our power, but in your strength. Lord, I just pray in our weaknesses, Lord, let it be, we pray that you become strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship this morning.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us today here at Watermark Church. If you have any questions or want to learn more, you can visit us at www.stillwatermark.com. Thank you.